What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
I am scared of time travel completely because as a black dude, there's no point
where are we gonna
in time
go?
I'm going back to. Like, I'm praying if we go to the future, the world still exists, but I can't.
I just watched this movie. It's called About Time. It's Domhnall Gleeson and what's his name? He's in all those movies. Anyway,
it's Rachel McAdams,
but his dad is played by
Bill Nye.
I can't think of his name.
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye. And they could, all the men in their family can travel through time, but you can't do anything crazy. Like, you can't go and kill Hitler or anything like that. Like, you have to just sort of do small stuff, you know? So all his dad does is read everything. So every book that comes out, he spends time to read. Like, if black people had that ability, like, of just like, listen, I'm gonna relive this day in my house, like reading shit or like like that's something that's black time travel, you know? Stay indoors.
Don't be safe. Think about it. I'm not going back to the 1800s. I'm not going back to the 1900s. I'm not going back to 1950, 1970, 1980.
What if we time traveled and if we time traveled?
There's only a certain period of time. What about, what about before the colonizers ever got to
America?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Like, if you time travel to Africa pre. Yeah.
You're right. Honestly, it's so funny. Because hearing y'all say that, I didn't even think about the time before colonizers. That was so far removed from my head. I was like,
does that time exist?
We're trapped in a time pincer, you know?
Yeah, sure. It's like, it's just a loop. Also, my thing about these movies is like time travel movies, they always make up their own. Like, they all deal with the same type of things you can't do.
I love it.
You can't change for so much. You can't run into your future self. Everything that's happened, happened. So that is no matter what you do, it's still a part of the thing. But they all have different names.
All the time travel movie has to go, it has to do is at the beginning just be like, look, these are our rules. I'm on board. if the movie is just like, look, this is the this is the science that we subscribe to, cool. And then I'm good. I'm off to the races there.
A time pincer.
This movie didn't have in almost every like alternate dimension or time travel movie, there's always this explanation of like, you take the piece of paper and then you fold the paper and then you do a straight line.
Yes.
Yes. There's always some explanation. I don't know. It's hard because every movie has a different tenet.
You didn't freeze. What? You didn't freeze. Yeah. You didn't freeze.
Why did you fully pause?
No, he tried to blink. I was like, this little motherfucker freeze at 10 minutes.
It's always hard because, there's always a different explanation. Every movie has a different tenet.
All right.
Don't say it again.
All right. Your Hawaii Wi-Fi works just fine. All right.
What? No, it's always hard because, every movie has a different explanation.
No. No.
Every movie has a different tenet.
No. Okay. He drives me fucking insane. I don't like this jovial Hawaii Braylock. First off.
Yeah, you know, Bray is in Hawaii right now.
I'm with you guys. It's always hard because every movie has a different explanation. There's always a different tenet.
Okay, see, now he's repeating the same. He's not even saying, it's like we're stuck
in a time loop. We're in a
we're stuck in a time loop. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
We live in a twilight world.
All right.
All right.
Okay. We live in a twilight world.
It's funny because I thought you were almost like, I thought you were Sidney Poitier saying, I was like, is Sidney Poitier in this
we
movie?
We live in a twilight, We live in a twilight world.
hey, yo, Sidney, dude. He do be sounding mad creepy every now and then. It's like, bro, why?
Every third line that Sidney Poitier has is like, is he Hannibal Lecter? What is that?
I thought you were gonna say what happened. What's happened.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, but then
you know that's the tenet of the movie.
Okay, but that's what's his name's line. It wasn't the protagonist's line.
True, it wasn't the protagonist's line. But wait, what is the other things that they always say when they were spies and stuff?
My man said, "I'm a protagonist." I'm the protagonist so many times in this movie.
Oh my God.
I'm the protagonist of this movie.
I have to say this because I've talked about this on the podcast already. Remember when I couldn't find this teaser trailer, but there's some teaser trailer for Tenet when they're like, you know, it's time for a new type of hero. And we like just keep seeing John David Washington. And like, it made me upset because I, of course, made it about race because so many people talk about how Christopher Nolan never cast black people. And that whole trailer was about like how there's a new kind of hero. But I now after watching the movie, I'm like, oh, this is because of the code names that they use. And on a mission, there's a protagonist.
And he's black.
They also did. Yes, of course, they also did. Because
there ain't no other black people in the movie. So
he won't even run into no other black people. These niggas going through space and time, and he won't run into nobody.
They had a whole army at the end. There are multiple armies running forward and backward, and only one person was black, and that was just the protagonist.
Yo, that shit is wild. It's so funny because I love, like, listen, we all love Chris Nolan, but I'm like, brother, this is the exceptional Negro shit we be talking about. He is the only
brother in the movie. Exceptional Negro.
And he's the best one in the movie. I'm like, thank God for that woman. What is her name?
It's Exceptional Negro and Magical Negro at the same time. He was both.
All right. Well, here. Yeah. You look up her name. We're gonna get through this because there's a lot to discuss. We finally reviewed Tenet, guys. But before we talk about it, my name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Dra Milligan.
And I'm James the Third.
And we are a film review podcast. We review films of leading black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Gerard is a really supportive, so he throws in the yes every now and then. this film came out this year. It was one of the only, if not the only, tentpole film to be released in theaters during COVID.
They tried.
A lot of you guys got to see it because it was open in many theaters across the country. It was not open in LA or New York City in other places. So we did not get a chance to see it. Well, actually,
I saw it at a drive-in, but Lord knows how hard it was watching this movie there.
Yeah.
But anyway, it has finally come out to buy. You can't rent it yet. You can buy it. And we did buy it. And we saw it. And we're going to talk about it. Tenet, the latest Christopher Nolan film starring John David Washington, Robert Pattinson, Kenneth Branagh.
Batman.
Elizabeth
<That's so rude>.
Debicki. it's spelled Dimple, but it's definitely not pronounced Dimple, right? It's like Dimple.
Dimple.
Dimple played Priya.
She played Priya.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe.
I love how they have Michael Caine here, but Michael Caine was in the movie for a hot second. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
Sir Michael Caine.
I was on
a rabbit hole. Honestly, I've read too much and watched too many videos about this movie.
You gotta send links because I'm now.
Well, you
interested.
Got to.
Can I tell y'all the biggest? No, no, wait. We gotta talk about it first. There's a huge theory about this movie that you guys probably already discovered, but I didn't even think about it until it was over.
I promise you I didn't. Yeah. No.
I barely understand what happened in the film, let alone getting to extra theories that weren't explained. I couldn't even understand what they did explain.
Hilarious.
Now, this movie cost about $200 million to make. Because it was released during COVID, the box office didn't do that great. It was $361 million worldwide. Which we know with advertising and stuff, and they had a lot of advertising before, like,
it was
for at least a year.
Especially because it kept getting pushed back also, because it was like supposed to be released and then they pushed it back and then it was supposed to be released and they pushed it back again.
Yeah. This movie also, its running time is 150 minutes. It's on the longer side as movies go. And the other thing about this was weird, Rotten Tomatoes a 71% tomato score. That's not bad, but I feel like there was a lot of hype around this movie. At least for us, it felt like that. And then when the reviews came out, people were like, "Eh," it was like it's good. It's not great, you know. And it's not great for a movie that's like anticipated. Feel like a 71% feels like 50%,
feels high,
even though
yeah.
Oh, wait, 71% well, feels like a 50%. You're saying
yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like 71% feels high to us because it feels like the reviews were not great.
Yeah.
And that's
I was
just
shocked when I saw 71. That's shocking.
I think that hurt it. I think, like, again, I know COVID was a big deal, but I think if this movie would have had more word of mouth, more people would have, like, probably tried to have seen it
risked
in theaters.
It, yeah.
But I think, like, because the big thing I heard was the audio. The audio was distracting. Like, Chris Nolan even talks about it.
Does he? Does he say that?
Oh, no, that's
he
interesting because
he addresses
because
it.
Here's the thing. When The Dark Knight Rises came out, people were complaining about not being able to understand Bane. But when I saw it in theaters, I was like, I understand him. Like, I thought it was a little overblown. But this movie, we had to put the subtitles on. We couldn't understand what was being said. And they're speaking really fast and things are moving really quickly. There's a lot to digest. But we were at home. You know, like this is at home, and like, and then I was like, oh, is it the TV? Like, I thought it was our TV that was messed up. But okay, so the audio, because the audio feels
this right had you thinking your whole TV broke.
No, for real though, I was like, the mix is off. Like this audio mix is not right.
Yeah,
nah, brother.
But yeah, what happened with the audio?
So basically, I mean, they did it on purpose. Like they were trying to inflect like. The intensity and let me find the quote, but it was purposeful. I think the thing was
so what we saw was intentional.
Yes,
like it's intentionally quiet and intentionally like sometimes overpowered by the score.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like,
the score
and
it sounded like the mix was off.
Yeah, it does, but it's so crazy because I, you know, Rachel and I saw this in a drive-thru, and it was hard because one, it's like almost a 3-hour movie that you're watching in a car. But also, the audio was so tough. Like, and honestly, seeing this on the big screen makes 100%. But like, not having the subtitles to watch this movie, I would have had to watch this again at home because they were, not only were they talking fast, but they were so low that it's like, and it's so much exposition in this movie. It's like, it's the plans got to get explained. Like, John David's character as having like, just how the world works explained to him. And then he still has, it was just so much talking, which I think was one of the critiques as well. But I didn't mind that as much. But
I will say this, like it felt like a mistake. So to know that it was intentional, I think means I feel like it didn't do what they wanted to do because it didn't feel purposeful. It just felt like I didn't get any emotional reaction. I just was like, oh, something's wrong. Like I can't hear what's happening, and the score is too like the levels are off. Now, maybe in a theater, that feels a little bit different, but at home, it felt like a mistake.
Here's the quote. Chris is trying to create a visceral emotional experience for the audience beyond merely an intellectual one. Like punk rock music, it's a full body experience and dialogue only one facet of the sonic palette. He wants to grab the audience by lapels and pull them towards the screen, not allow the watching of his films to be a passive experience. So it was supposed to be.
Right. So it's active. It's making you actively listen the entire time. Like, yep. It's forcing you to be like literally edge of your seat, but because you're trying to get your ear closer, not because
it has
suspense.
The opposite yeah. effect for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I can't listen. It's like because when I feel like I'm like, oh, it's not me. It's like a problem with the audio. It makes me give up.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I get that. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get into the general bits of
but
this
yeah, let's
thing.
Get into it.
First off, did y'all see have you ever seen Layer Cake? It's a movie. It's considered the movie that got Daniel Craig James Bond. And I love that his character, you never know his name. Even at the credits, it says XXX and then Daniel Craig's name. And throughout this whole movie, John David is only known as the protagonist. Like, I don't think he calls himself the protagonist and no one ever says his name.
And no one ever says his name.
Like, it's funny because how do you have a movie where no one yells, hey, Marcus, come on? I really like Christopher Nolan. And the thing that's hard is I think I have Christopher Nolan bias. You know what I mean? I think if it wasn't...
If
anybody else would have made this movie, I think I would be complaining about it. But because it's him, I'm like, all right, let me do some research on it and see if I can get it. And that'll make me like it more. Like, for instance, like this gun, the reversing stuff, first time I've ever seen him do it was in Memento. Like in Memento, I think it starts off with the reverse of like the gunshot and stuff. I mean, again, I like that John David was in it. It's hard because his character is supposed to be dry on purpose. But because he was a black dude in a Christopher Nolan movie, I wanted him to have a little swag to him. I wanted his hair. You know what it is? Anytime I watch
you
a black person.
Be black as hell for no reason.
No. Not just like, I wanted him to have like, I wanted to have a little bit of confidence to him, but I understand why his character didn't, because, you know, that's not who he was. Also, the whole time I was like, I wanted... Every time I see a black person in one of these super big movies, and you could tell no black people are a part of it, I was like, I want my man to have a fire shape up and haircut. I did. Maybe because he was a spy, he couldn't look flashy, but I'm looking at Batman over here with his cool slick back hair. I was like, I wanted my man to have a little swag, you know? Like... But I did enjoy it. I think after going through the rabbit hole of everything else that we'll talk about, it made me like a little bit more, but I thought it was a little long. And I'm really happy John David got to do this. Like, you know, I'm happy a black dude was in a Christopher Nolan movie, man. Like, them niggas don't even be in Batman movies. Like, they don't be in nothing, bro. Like,
right.
None of them. They weren't in The Prestige. There were no black people in, what's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio? The spinning thing, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Inception?
There were no black people in Inception. Like, we have never been in a Christopher Nolan movie,
man. I can't believe
man.
Michael Jai White has, like, three lines in The Dark Knight.
Oh,
it's like,
that's right. He isn't with three
lines. Are
you
kidding me? It's Michael right, Jai White.
I enjoy
he's
it.
The,
so
he's the dude who gets killed. He's, like, one of the first people to get killed by the Joker, right?
Yeah.
By, like, a goon, too.
Yeah.
God,
despite the flaws of the movie, I had fun, and I think that like that was what I got out of it. Like
that's squeak. That's squeak. I had fun.
I did. Fun?
I had fun. Like, I was like not super I did not find it super compelling once we like understand that like once it, you know, you guys know me and like how I've yelled about Arrival on this podcast before, of just like time travel movies, like if you're gonna hype the movie up, then it's gotta like fully blow my mind, which this movie did not fully blow my mind. But I thought that it was like I thought that the time travel technology was, or the mechanism was fun, and like the way that they used it was fun. And so I was generally interested in that. Like, for, I needed the subtitles, absolutely needed the subtitles. And then there were even times even with that where it was just like, I don't know what's happening here, but like, I'm sure it'll all work itself out. Like, I'm sure this will, whatever it is that I'm missing will become clear to me through some, hopefully through some visual thing or through something, you know. I liked John David Washington in this. I feel like he's just, there are those times where like he'll just say a line and he's so much like his dad.
Yo,
just
like, or look,
I'm so glad we're gonna have somebody who sounds just like Denzel for the next however long this guy's working, you know. Like, I'm just glad that he's here. I thought the acting was really good. I thought Robert Pattinson was awesome.
So good.
Crazy how he's become an auteur.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and he really has.
Like, Kat was like, how did he get here? And I was like, I think it's just, he really was just super
was
smart after
good.
Twilight. He was like, yeah. After Twilight, he was just like, I'm only going to do stuff that, I'm passionate about. And I mean, I will stay
Lighthouse,
Robert Pattinson.
Like, Lighthouse, he's done so, him and Kirsten Stewart, like, they just started. It's so funny. I don't know if they, like, are friends. Sorry, I'll let you go back. But it's, no, like, if you look at their careers, they both have done nothing but indies. And then last year, 2019, they both started popping up in like studio movies out of nowhere, and it's like, oh shit, I forgot that I've seen you guys do like what is the movie with Happy Days? Is that what it is? Good Times. Yo, Good Times is one
Good
of the
times
most
is
panic
cool.
inducing movies I have ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. He
and
is
he's
so
fantastic
good.
In it.
Oh,
he's fantastic in it. The ending itself, like, there were a couple times where Kat was a couple steps ahead, and then once she filled me in on where she was, I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, okay, I know the ending. And it was like, so it wasn't like super surprising, you know, like it wasn't like a surprise.
I got one surprise that, for you though.
That happened, but oh my God, is there more?
There is more.
That I don't know. But with that, I think that I thought that they did a fun job. Like, once, like, I was like not excited by the ultimate reveal that they were moving towards and the ultimate like time travel journey that they went on. I was like, this isn't exciting to me, but I thought that the way that they utilized it was fun and was exhilarating to watch. And so I had a good time. I wish I would have seen it in the theater. I think I would have had a better time.
Right.
That's it.
Guys, I really wanted to like this movie. Movies like this are tough because I also struggled with Interstellar, though I actually like Interstellar more now that I've seen Tenet. And I think, and the thing is, the reason I love Christopher Nolan, outside of the fact that he made The Dark Knight, even though Drew hates that, I love that movie. But
hey, it's in a national it's in a national film reserve. This
yeah,
week?
Yeah, they just recently added it,
this
right?
Week?
Yeah, it should be. I do think that Christopher Nolan at least makes, like, he makes original blockbuster films, mm-hmm. which yeah. almost nobody else gets to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So I actually won't even blame other people for not doing it, because I don't think anybody else gets to do it. But he gets to do it, and that's fun. It's fun to watch Tenet. It's fun to watch Interstellar. It's fun to watch Inception, because it's not based off of a previous property. It's not based off a comic book. It's not based off of a book even, you know, like, it's just an original movie idea come to life with big name actors and big budgets and awesome effects and things like that. So that alone, I'll always enjoy watching a Christopher Nolan movie. I will say, like, I feel like I'm a decently intelligent person, and this movie was like so dense and also filled with like so much like fake science too, that like it was tough to enjoy, because I on a story level, I didn't ever care like about anybody, really.
Because what was there to care about?
Yeah. You know? And the other thing is, like, and I think one of the main things for one of the two main reasons for that, one is that I don't know. I just, at the end of the day, just don't know who John David Washington is. Like, I don't know who this character is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what his motivation is. Like, even, I mean, the ending of the film is hilarious because it's like his motivation is almost in a time loop in and of itself, where I'm like, but then when did he ever get it's a paradox in and of itself, like what his motivation is and kind of what the motivation is of almost everybody in this film. Relationship between him and Kat, I didn't understand, outside of like it just being a movie, I didn't understand why he cared about her so much, like why she was so important. It was weird.
Yeah. So that was when I got upset when the reason he was going back was her. It made me mad. I wanted to fully write off the movie at that moment.
It was supposed to be because, you know, he. I have a theory on this.
It's a theory time already.
No, basically, let me get everybody a quick rundown so basically this movie is about, you know, a CIA agent who at the opening of the movie is a part of like trying to help with like a hostage situation. He's going in, he's a part of a special group, he's trying to get this artifact back. He goes in, gets kidnapped by the bad guy because, you know, he didn't talk. A secret government organization named Tenet grabs him, brings him back to life. It's like, hey, because you didn't snitch, you get this opportunity. The opportunity is we got to stop what we're calling World War III. And that sends the protagonist on his mission of...
And he's like, nuclear war? He's like, much worse.
Yeah. And it's like, now we're on. And the thing is, it's so funny because that's the start of it. But that mission changes so much in this movie that I'm like... Because again, it's hard because we don't know his backstory. We don't know what... You know, his big thing is do whatever for the job or lie, whatever.
We don't know anything. The movie throws you in immediately going, what's happening? And and it never lets you know. And by the time by the time we kind of rest on these are who our main characters are going to be, I didn't even fully realize that until like an hour and a half in the movie. I was like, oh, we're like, We finally stopped just going from scene to scene to scene to different person, different person, different person. Because I was like, wait, why is this person? Why are we coming back? I literally said, why are we coming back to this person? Like, I was like, why are we coming back to Priya? Why are we coming back to... Like, I didn't understand, because the beginning of the movie kept hopping from people to people to people in this way that I was just like, I have no clue what's happening. Like, I guess neither does this character. And like, it's just going to be like... this person, that person. But then we finally kind of stopped that carousel, and then it was like, these are our main players. The last thing I wanted to say, I do like some of the fight sequences in this movie, but to me, the best fight sequence was actually in the kitchen and had nothing to do with reverse entropy or any of the like.
Oh
cool,
yeah, that was a great fight sequence.
Yeah,
that to me was my favorite fight sequence of the movie. And I think the part in the movie where I was like, oh, John David Washington is a star. And this isn't to say anything bad about his performance in the whole film, but there was just something about how he conducted himself in that fight scene that felt unique and felt cool and fun. And I was like, I get who this guy is. And everywhere else, a lot of other times in this movie, it felt just like
he had the swag in that scene, baby.
Yeah,
he was confident. He wasn't smirking, but he was
felt like a person.
Yes, he was a dude.
and that whole like time, an actor moving through a movie.
That whole time, he was not scared of nobody. He put on his suit and he calmly beat the shit out of everybody while walking forward, like the whole forward trajectory. Beat the shit out of everybody. One dude he punched in the throat so many times, I was like, God damn. All right, wait.
Dude, he ripped this dude's face with a cheese grater.
I loved it.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009, and what are we in April? Soon to be May, and I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide, and I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in, like sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with. When you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
So this is my theory. So Rachel's brother said this, and I think this is a pretty interesting way to describe this movie. He basically called this a modern day Terminator 1. And so there's a big theory online that Robert Pattinson is the kid that is Kat's son. Apparently the theory is like, because apparently Robert Pattinson is the only person who had to have an accent. He had to dye his hair blonde. And the first thing that Robert Pattinson says when he shows up is, would you ever take a kid or a woman hostage or something like that? And he's like, a woman only if I had to or something like that. So the whole theory is that he's known him his whole life. No one else knows his name or knows the protagonist personally except for Robert Pattinson. And people are like, oh, it's because Robert Pattinson has known him damn near his whole life.
That's cool.
So everyone's like...
that's an interesting theory.
So I mean, it's just one of the theories. Like even at the end when he, when he goes back in time when he goes back in time to shoot Priya and the other dude, it's like he's doing it for Robert. It's a whole long thing, but now,
is the
like
kid's
that.
Is the kid's name also Neil?
The kid's name, has a different... the kid's name, I think they said was Maximilian, which is the last four is Neil. Listen, I've been through a rabbit hole. I don't.
Yeah.
Because the kid has cool. a name. Oh, yeah. The kid's name is Max. The kid's Max. Name is Max.
Which
and
he, say,
and Robert Pattinson is called Neil. Sorry,
yeah,
so
if you, if, yeah, but the theory is, if I think Maximilian, the last, if you reverse it at the end, like the last four is like Neil. Again, this is the internet. This is the internet. I went through rabbit holes, y'all. I didn't mean to do this, but okay. I did.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I like the idea of that. Does that make the movie better for you? If that's true.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest. It is hard for me to say this movie is bad just because of Chris Nolan. It is super hard. Like, I think the way James said it before, I had fun watching it.
Yeah.
Do I need to watch this again? Probably. I mean, it's not Inception for me. It's not Inception, but
it's not Inception.
It actually makes me upset at the movie a little bit more. Like, if after all of this, he recruits this little ass kid that he could that dies very young.
He does.
In theory, he dies like 10, maybe 15 years after he recruits him. You know, like, it's like, that is that right? Like, and should he?
He dies saving him. All right, so let's jump into this. Because this movie's so long, we might as well talk about our favorite scenes. Like, we start off with John David at this opera house, which
we
is funny.
We gotta try to figure this out.
Yeah, which is funny because
What happened? What was this opera house about? What was it about?
So someone
they
told
never,
me
this is the one thing they never come back to, and I thought they were coming back to it.
So then they never do. Some people say that the ending of the movie is the start of the opera house. How that makes sense, I don't know.
No, it does. It does make sense because they.
The opera house.
It wouldn't make sense that like John David Washington was going into the opera house after this. Like that wouldn't make
Robert
sense.
Robert Pattinson is going in, but Robert,
yeah,
like at the end of the movie, it's supposed to be not necessarily like John David. Robert Pattinson's going into the opera house because he still has the bag that saves John David at the beginning of the movie. Like, remember at John David, he sees the little totem. Or whatever
I thought
on
that
the
bag was the. I thought that was a different bag.
No, that bag.
Because Robert Pattinson was on the blue team, and the guy had a red tag.
Where he's going at the end is he's going to get shot. At the end, he's going to die.
He's going to unlock the door, but John David Washington saw that bag on a dead man.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the same bag. Hold on.
When he got to the door.
It might be that same bag, which would then in turn mean that in the beginning, Robert Pattinson was on a mission and we did not see his face because he was, you know, he had one of those masks on. But
well, who do you see? Because I wasn't sure whether the person who saves the protagonist in this opera house was either himself or Robert Pattinson. I think it's either one of those two.
Yeah.
Right. That makes more sense.
All right. So the bag.
But I thought it was himself for a second.
Okay, the bag. I don't even know what side I'm on right now. Robert Pattinson's bag.
Here's the thing. There's two bags because we see the red tag of the guy in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And that's who does the undoes the bullet, which I still don't fully comprehend what he did.
He undid the bullet, bro.
Shot a guy. But like the guy got shot.
Yeah,
because the bullet went backwards.
That's what
got through
the guy. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Because it was an introverted bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
and anyway, so in this part, there were at least five different teams happening. Okay. You had, let me get to it. So you had first the terrorists who come in and shoot the conductor. So it seems like they're real terrorists and not plants, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So now what the terrorist mission was, you guys know? Cause I don't.
I thought it was the thing that they say at the end of like, they were going to blow up the audience. Like,
no, but they were.
For
but
what?
But then also Sater's people were trying to get the artifact as well.
That's a different team, but I'm at right now trying to focus on the terrorist team.
I thought the terrorists were just trying to blow up. That's what I thought the bombs were. I thought the bombs were there because of the terrorists.
And they were trying to blow up the Opera House?
Yeah. Yeah.
And why were they trying to blow up the Opera House?
I don't know. Send a message to whoever.
Because apparently,
I don't know the reason.
This is based off of like a thing that actually happened where a bunch of terrorists took over Opera House.
There's this terrorist, unknown reason, trying to blow up this Opera House to make some sort of point or message. Now you had the police. Okay. So that's the second team. And the police are there to stop the terrorists. Simple. Then you have John David Washington, the protagonist group of people who are CIA, and they're there to help get a fourth party, which one of their members, their undercover agents, are a part of. Now, who this fourth party is, I again still don't understand. Yeah. But you had people in there who were sitting up in an Opera House booth, and two of them were kind of like, they were kind of unfazed by these terrorists, which made me go, are they a part of the terrorists? Are the terrorists trying to kill this? We couldn't understand that. And then fifth group is whatever, the tenant, people operating within the tenant.
Okay? Of which, presumably, Robert Pattinson is there.
Presumably
either Robert Pattinson or John David Washington. I think it's one of them.
Yes. Or both of them, actually, in theory, at this time, because this could be them working one of the missions that they go on together.
We don't know why the CIA agent was undercover, right? Or do we?
No, they didn't say.
I did not know if they do say.
And then when the police were shooting at him, why were the police shooting at that guy?
I think they thought he was a terrorist because his job was to go get that object. Like, I know when he goes in, his job was to go get that object. I don't think he knew why he was supposed to get it, but I think he just knew, like, I got to get this thing out of here. Because he even told his boy at one point, I got it, go get him somewhere or some shit like that.
Nobody knew what the object was, but who had it?
So it was
just somebody. It was somebody
a dude in there. But the object was the
one of the nine
of the tenant.
Yeah.
I love MacGuffins. This whole movie's for a MacGuffin, and you realize it's nine of them, but he already has eight, and we never knew there was nine. We didn't see him collect any of the other ones except for the one.
I didn't even know that this guy was the main bad guy until an hour and a half in the movie. I was like, oh, okay, wait. I guess he's the main bad guy.
Also, it's funny.
I literally was waiting so long for the future people, for us to see the future people.
Right. Same.
And then I was like, oh, we're never going to see them. We're never going to know who they are. And they only in one sentence towards the very end of the movie even explain why the people in the future are doing any of this. We don't get why what's happening is happening until the end of the movie.
And even then they tell you why. A guess. Like, they're like, they go, yes. I guess it's for this reason.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even say it concretely.
Yeah, I mean,
it also makes no sense.
I'm
like, how is this the best way for them? Like, they figured out time travel and
they were like,
this is what they decided what
we'll
to do.
We'll obliterate the world before us. That's what we'll
yes.
We'll obliterate the world before us.
Well, if it's any consolation, at least as a black dude who's saving the world, you know, like, at least in the future, the older version of him is the guy who created this thing to help save everybody, even though he sends himself back
so
in time.
Crazy that they just also go at the end, they're like, and just so you know, you started all of this.
Yeah, you worked, you did all of this yourself.
I mean,
that
was a bit of an eye roll for me, just to be fair.
I mean, even
because first of all, since we just brought that point up, the end of the movie, I will also say this though. At a certain point, I did, while we were watching the movie, to go to Jessica and be like, and I said, why is he taking orders from Priya? Like, who is she? I literally said that. I was like, why is she calling the shots? Like, who is she? I thought she was just someone to get information from. Now she's the boss? When did that happen? When did she become the boss?
And she wasn't.
And then they were like, she wasn't the boss. And I was like, okay. I mean, like, that. I guess that helps explain it a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. Because I was very confused as to why she was the boss.
Listen,
nothing against the actress. I just didn't like the way that we even got to her.
Listen, I didn't understand. When they rolled in a wall and said, the bullets came with the wall, and also the bullets shoot backwards, and also you have to feel like you dropped it. I was just like, all right, cool.
When she said the bullets came with the wall, I was like, these niggas just bought in a piece of wall? They were just
This is what I'm saying. It was fun. It was fun that they were just like, she had to do this experiment. This is why I didn't care about all the other stuff. And she was just like tasked with this experiment, and they were like, inverted bullets came with the wall. You just have to, you know, and then they literally have a line in this scene when she's trying to like explain the science where she goes. And it's great. I love whenever they say stuff like this in movies, when, you know, don't try to think about it.
She literally said don't think about it.
Listen, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, if there wasn't a black dude in this movie as the lead, I don't know if I'd have finished it. I like because again, I like time travel, but it was so much, and the thing is, we get so little from John David, like, not actor wise but like character wise we don't know why he wants to do anything. Everything is about the mission, and then that mission changes so much. Like, you know, just to skip to some of the set pieces, when after he leaves the scientist, and she gives him the first place to go, which is to go find Priya, which we think is a man, he lands, he meets Michael Douglas, he has on a Brooke Brothers suit, which to me is a very expensive suit.
Wait, I'm sorry, we can't just skip past the fact this whole test thing and how it also makes
that's only
innocent.
6 minutes in the movie. We got a movie.
But
essentially, this team that he's on doing this mission, you know, if they get caught, they're supposed to take like a cyanide pill or something like that. Whatever this pill was supposed to be.
Who catches them?
Right.
No, that's
Sator's
people.
This is what I never understood.
So this part is tricky.
That's Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah. So
there are six people there. There were Kenneth Branagh's people.
Yeah, so the there guy, was, okay, it's okay. Confusing how he gets to them, but the guy who is torturing him is the same henchman from later on in the restaurant with Kat, who's like the one who he has to shoot at the end, who ends up killing him. That's the same dude.
Yeah, that's the same
guy.
So
he was really tortured.
Yes, he was really tortured, had his teeth taken out.
He wasn't tortured. Okay, I thought he was tortured by the CIA.
No, so apparently...
Right. And so did he. And that was what was... That's what happens in that next scene, is he runs it all down. He's like, the death pill wasn't real. They ripped out my teeth. Like, what? Like,
yes.
And now I have to... I feel like my teeth were ripped out because... You know what I mean? Like, he's so... Because they actually were, because somebody actually ripped out his teeth.
So there is a theory that, like, the pill... So the pill that he has... Is this in the movie or maybe a website? I don't know. But the pill that John David has, the cyanide pill that he ends up taking, apparently Sator has the same pill at the end that he plans on committing suicide with. But the pills are placebos. So it's like the whole mission of the movie, quote unquote, doesn't matter because Sator would never be able to actually kill himself because the pill isn't real. So it's like...
No, but is that true though? That's an interesting theory, but he could have had a placebo, but that doesn't mean that Sator had a placebo.
There was a reason they both had it. But anyway,
if they were able to get him a placebo, then what are we even doing here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the joke everyone says. But yeah, so he ends up getting tortured and dies. Does he die?
So he
coma, self-induced coma.
I think he did. He doesn't die. They bring him.
He was put into a coma. Now the guy. Okay, so the guy who, because they were betrayed by someone. Here's the thing I don't get. If there was a tenant, a part of this mission, why did they suck so much and they got to do almost nothing? Like, the only thing they did was save John David Washington, and that was it.
Maybe that was the only job?
Yeah, but maybe, that could have been the
entire
mission.
Right,
because
they were like, what's happened. We already know this is going to end in him losing. Yeah. Right. Okay. So then, he gets whisked away. Him doing pull-ups in like a buoy
Kat was like, why is he doing that?
Yeah. It felt like, you know, it was like supposed to be like that scene in like I Am Legend where like, you know, like Will Smith's taking a shower or like The Rock, like doing, it just didn't work though. I was just like, you don't look big enough. Like none of this is,
It's crazy because he's huge on Ballers. On Ballers, yeah. He is actually massive. So I was like,
I was impressed by him doing it from all the way up. I mean, Kat did say out loud, why is he doing that? But
he wanted to stay in shape, baby. He wanted to stay in shape.
Anyway, so then he's whisked. Like, first of all, we don't even know who this guy is who like brought him out and told him up. And like, and then also said Tenet. He was like, Tenet, and it's a thing, it's what binds us together. And I was like, that's not what Tenet means. And then he and then all of a sudden we're like in a scene with Michael Caine, and I was like, who's this guy?
Listen, he is the British Connection. That's literally what he is, just a British connect to tell him where to.
And then he's literally is just in a scene with Michael Caine just to tell him to go to another place. And I was like, did we need this scene at all
to get a suit?
We did, because the button, the buttons on both ends about the food were hilarious.
Oh yeah, those buttons were
when
so
he's
funny.
Like when he's like oh, should I, I'll send a waiter to you. Nah, man, just give him the order. Like,
yeah, just convey the order to him.
What
yeah.
was that? And then at the end he's like, can we box this up?
He's like, can I box this up? And the guy went, certainly not. And that
that's
was
why
funny.
The scene was in the movie.
I actually also, think told him, certainly not was the only time I laughed in the whole movie.
He told him to go to
I think it was the only joke. No, that's not the only joke. There was another joke. Yes, there's one other joke, and it was actually my favorite joke. It's in the kitchen scene, which is my favorite scene. And he goes, right when he enters the kitchen, he says, I ordered my food an hour ago. Oh, no. He said, I asked for barbecue sauce an hour ago. Yes. Or hot sauce. I keep messing it up.
And then he starts fighting.
That was, when he said that, I was like, this is brilliant. I love this movie. That was my favorite. If the whole movie was just that scene, it would have been a perfect
Oh,
film.
My goodness.
He came in and said, I asked for hot sauce an hour ago.
Braylock wanted him to have a little bit more swag, man.
You're right. If he would have been slinging a couple extra jokes here and there, that would have been great.
Or if he just...
He had some swag in the scene with Michael Caine and in this kitchen scene. I was like, yes, but we barely got that guy, because then when he had to ask about all this stuff, it was just him asking questions that like we, the audience, also need to know. But yeah. But he was just accepting answers. It literally felt like they were just like, all right, we have to get through this. But I was like, but them going, we have to get through this is half the movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is jumping ahead, but I have to talk about this is, you know, one, he eventually links up with Robert Pattinson. They go on a series of missions. One of them takes them to a place where we physically see the entry and exit point of the thing that can the time machine. Well, in this scene, there's a lot of cool stuff. You know, like they have to like hold their breath because there's like poison being poured. Like there's a lot of cool stuff that happens in this, and it feels very Christopher Nolan. But here is the thing, okay. That what a great name. I struggle with time travel movies, and I just feel like people are smart. People are so smart in these movies, but they expect us to believe that their adrenaline is so high that they can't be the steps ahead that the audience is, you know? Like Robert Pattinson pulls off the it was either Robert Pattinson,
it's either him
or exactly. John David Washington, right? And the simple fact that we're there, we experience it. Everyone that is present for this is there, but then several scenes later, John David Washington doesn't go, oh fuck, it was me. Mm-hmm. Like he never learns more information.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. He's an intelligent, He's in the CIA. Like,
he's literally steps ahead of so many people. Yeah. He's the one who actually did all of this.
Yeah, he did all of this.
It doesn't make any sense that he wouldn't figure that out by that time.
Does, no, especially when he's putting on the gear.
How did he not know that he was the one who recruited Robert Pattinson? I mean, that was something that I figured out immediately, yeah, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like obvious.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
You know, when he was like, oh, you already know this stuff. And he was like, yeah.
You know more than I do.
You know, yeah, more than I do. And it's like, yeah, duh, dude. Like, you told him at some point in the future, clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
The fact that Robert Pattinson, and he keeps asking about, like, you never told me who recruited you. Never told me, like, I'd tell you my history if we all survive at the end. I'm like, bruh, come on. Now, y'all set this up real hard. Also, another theory about Robert Pattinson is the fact that, like, for some weird reason, when at the end of the movie, when John David goes to talk to Kat, her first thing is, oh, did Neil leave? He didn't say goodbye. I'm like, you just met this nigga. Like, this black dude been trying to save your life this whole movie. Why you give a shit about this random dude? Like, what? He didn't say goodbye? Like, what? Why? Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, you don't know Neil. You don't know Neil. You guys haven't been hanging out.
You don't know. You can tell that Neil is your son as an adult. unless you fully
know.
Like,
you don't know this dude.
Which, if you do, that's crazy. Why would you allow him?
Kat was like, is she the woman who jumps off the edge? And I was like, I've fully forgotten that there was a woman who does that. But
yeah,
but
I figured
it's
that
the
out
same
too.
Thing. It's like, how does she not know?
What's funny was that for some reason, not until it literally happened in the movie, did I understand that the two people were both John David Washington. I kept going, wait, okay, so if this is John David Washington, the other guy must be Robert Pattinson, because I kept just thinking it had to be two of them. And then when he came out, I was like, oh, duh, they already explained this, that it's the same person. And I still didn't get it until it literally happened. I was like, oh, right, of course, it's just him through the turnstile. But I still don't, okay, there's so many concepts they have to explain in the movie. Honestly, the whole concept of the entropy and the like
inversion,
like, well, you, the inversion and, like, you know, the bullet wouldn't have fell out of your hand if you didn't put your hand there, that whole thing, it all felt irrelevant to me because that wasn't the main thing that they were using,
right?
And that it kind of took the wind out of my sails a little bit when they were like, okay, here's actually this other device that's actually the main device that's the real part of all of this that we
separate,
have to use.
Right? It's like interacting with something inverted is one thing, but then what ended up happening most in the movie was you were either inverted or you aren't.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was all that was. It made moments like the fights, watching those, anything we got to watch twice. So it made those moments somewhat fun, even though it's not the same thing, you know, like a bullet already having been shot, you know, like you can see that the bullet has already been shot. And if you're not the person to shoot it, you know,
listen,
like,
I'll be honest. The first scene when he comes in and there are bullets through the hall, bullets are through the holes, and that Robert Pattinson goes, what happened here? Which also, by the way, not only is Robert Pattinson an incredible actor, Neil, the character he's portraying, is also an incredible actor.
Yeah.
But him saying what happened here when he already knows what happened, but he goes, and then John David Washington says, it hasn't happened yet. I said that too. And I think it was in the trailer, but I remember that part and I was just like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool. And it was the first time I watched it. I actually didn't think it was
because
cool
that means
the second
he was
time.
Shooting at himself.
No, it made me like it
the second
himself.
Time only because
it made me like it. It made me like it less because I didn't even understand it. I didn't understand how the fight worked. I didn't understand. The only part that I thought was cool was that the blowing up of the airplane, like, threw him into the thing. And when we first saw it, it looked like he was getting sucked out of it.
Yeah.
That was cool. Everything else, I didn't even understand.
The best two moments were like that. That's one, when he blows in. The other one is when he's trying to get the gun, because watching it from the forward perspective, it's hard to tell exactly what he's doing, even though the gun is far away and he is moving on the ground. It does not look like he's trying to move toward the gun, But
right.
But when we watch it from the, those are the only two moments about it that I liked. But it, I don't know. It was exciting to watch the first time, but confusing because watching the inverted nature of the other person's movements was odd. It was like I couldn't track what was going on, and then I felt the adrenaline of the reverse.
It feels like sometimes he's going forward, sometimes he's doing something in reverse, and other times he's not doing something in reverse.
Right. It feels that way. Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
I didn't mind it. It was just funny. I just don't understand.
Was it not that
way? If he knew it was him that he was fighting, I don't understand why he shot at him.
Yeah. Why did he?
He didn't. So the person who shot was uninitiated protagonist. Forward protagonist. The one in the uniform is inverted protagonist who has already lived this event. But the one who's already lived the event does not shoot. The other guy does.
So he's pulling them.
Forward guy shoots.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
Huh?
But how does the bullet?
Wait, what?
Because Gerard's saying, why did he shoot if he knew? But he didn't know.
Right.
The one moving forward, not the inverted one, the one moving forward is the one who.
And who's the one moving forward?
Is the one who comes out.
The one moving forward is the original.
But isn't he the one who comes out?
Not non swatted.
But he doesn't shoot.
The SWAT one shoots.
He's dodging.
The SWAT one shoots. The one at the end.
Oh,
yes,
really?
The one at the end.
Yeah, the one moving forward is dodging bullets.
So
I don't remember now. Yeah, now I'm confused.
The inverted one is the one who's in the SWAT gear. Like that's the one who's. And he is the one with the gun that at least has the gun in the hand, and the bullets are coming out of his gun.
And the bullets coming out, and they're coming out of his gun and going into his gun.
I feel like it was the other way.
Why is he even doing that? Like almost shooting himself.
You're fully right. That doesn't make any sense. I just in my mind corrected it.
Why is he fighting himself to begin with?
He can't.
Because when he came in, he himself was already starting to fight.
So he didn't want to. He was trying to get past. And he couldn't take the helmet off. Again, this whole movie is crazy. I just want to talk about one scene that I thought was super cool. The reverse bungee jump. I know that's super far ahead. We already passed that. But like, there's something so cool about watching them bungee up the building. And then when he's done getting information for Priya.
And was that inverted?
Yes, was the version how he went up. Which I thought was super cool. That's super cool. But then when Priya's like, did you have a plan on how to get out of here? And he's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden he looks up.
Not what I like.
And like Robert Pattinson, you just see his body just jump automatically over the building. And they both just dive and just calmly walk into the crowd. Like, that is some spy shit. Like, if this movie doesn't get John David a superhero movie or like the next Mission Impossible or something, but he got it.
But most of the movie wasn't like
I know.
Yeah.
It's tough because most of the movie wasn't like that. A lot of the movie was just him like asking questions and going through things. And like, it was for me,
and almost especially
kind of boring.
Almost especially making Robert Pattinson making him the more initiated person at the end. Like I would actually probably have been more interested in John David realizing like loopholes in the time travel and like being like, oh, I have to reset myself. Like him doing basically everything that Robert Pattinson did in that last fight would have been more interesting to me. You know, it's sort of like it puts him in the shoes of Denzel in Deja Vu.
I felt like this movie didn't give me enough to even understand why John David Washington becomes the architect of all this stuff at the end.
No.
I didn't fully get it. I liked the idea that Tenet was formed in the future. When they said that, I was like, that's cool. Because I was like, it kind of doesn't make sense. They're like, Tenet isn't something that was formed in the past. It was formed in the future. I was like, oh, cool. But I was like, well, then, but why? Like, I mean, obviously, other than just being like another paradox, you know, because it is a paradox. How would he start it?
That's another time travel thing that I sincerely hate of it being like where it's sort of like doing Terminator, but not as interesting of like her being like, oh, my son's really important. What should I do? Oh, God, what do I do? My son's important. You know, he's like, oh, I'm the one who. Like, he sort of falls into being in charge because he knows he's only going to be in charge because he's been told that he's in charge and creates Tenet.
Yes. And I truly, it's my least favorite. I don't like these time paradoxes where there's no beginning and it's just like some infinite loop.
Yeah.
Because at one, no. it had to have started. Like, it had to have started somewhere. And so there was one thing that happened that caused a ripple. The multiverse is the best for me. If you're going to do time travel, that's the thing that makes the most sense. That, like, when you do something, when you change something in time, there are different alternate realities that exist. And those realities exist separately, you know, and in this reality, this thing is happening. In that reality, it's not, when you didn't do that or all that stuff. That at least holds some level of making sense. Or things that are like, this has always been. That makes sense too. But what doesn't make sense is this, the only way you have got to this point is because somebody in the future went back in time, but there is but to get to the future, you had to have done this thing, and so there was no beginning. A lot of movies and stuff do this. It's not original, even. Like, I hated the third Harry Potter book because it was the same thing. It was like Harry Potter saved himself. I didn't like that. And this one of the had another one of those things where it was like, okay, so there was no beginning point to this, like, because he recruited himself into his own thing.
Yeah.
Like, he saved himself and recruited himself. And, like, okay. The other question I have, because I think it's separate than this, this movie brings up so many things that are like paradoxes and don't fully make any sense, is they have a time machine. Like, I know that they're like, oh, this thing is a thing that it's like, it's inverted. It sends things backward in time, but it like has to like, it's whatever. It has to, the pace that it goes back is the same pace going forward or something like that. Like, you have to go all the way back and then go into another inversion machine so that you can go forward again. But I don't understand why you can keep going backwards and forwards. Wouldn't that mess you up? Because Robert Pattinson does it for, like, essentially three different times in the same, or three or four times. I'm like, wouldn't that mess up him to keep going backwards and forwards in the same
loop? What do you call it? Does a good time, Michael Crichton's timeline does a good thing about that. Because essentially it's like every time you go back in time, it's actually killing you and then rebuilding you, like whatever the machine is, is like killing you and rebuilding you. And the more times you do, you start to become like, you start to have your body is not remade the same way. Sort of like if you make a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And like, it would be crazy if like Robert Pattinson comes out and suddenly he's talking backwards, or like he can't, you know, like he doesn't have a semblance on. You know, I guess so, but you know, but they don't go into that. That's not even a thing in this, right? Like, it's not even.
No. And I actually don't even understand it, because he would have had to wear, he would have had to wear a mask when he went to pick the lock, I guess. And then I guess he was. Okay. Can we get to this thing? Because we get to the end, or let's see. We have to talk about anything else before we get to the end?
We can talk about so many things.
Yeah, because once he gets into this thing and it's like, you have Priya,
he does everything at the end of this movie, not to save the world, but to save Kat. The thing is, the whole mission
and Kat
is
I've said this already on the pod, but I was so mad.
It was
mad.
Like,
I was like, it doesn't make any sense. It's not interesting. I don't care. Like, why is he doing all of this for her? Like, if the world is at stake, cool. But if you're just going back because you want to, I mean, and granted, maybe what ended up happening was he goes back to save her and ends up saving the world. I guess is what we're.
Well, he says that at some point. He says, you know, they're like, this is super risky, and you can change something. And he says, okay, but the fact that we're even still here, doesn't that mean that it worked?
I hate constant loops.
And the woman's like, well, that's a theory. Like, you know, do you want to risk everything like on that? Like, you know, and then, but Robert Pattinson the whole time keeps saying like, well, what's happened. And he even says like, it's a belief, which is a Tenet. Like, their main belief is like, honestly, it's like it is a destiny fate thing. It's like, we can't do anything wrong because the fact that we're here means everything we do is going to be right. Mm-hmm. Anything we do is going to be right. Because I think mm-hmm. even earlier on, he's like, what about free will? He asked, what about free will? Way too early, by the way. Because when he asked, what about free will? I was like, what the fuck does free will have anything to do with this? And then by the end of the movie, I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, wait a minute. What about free will? But by the time I was asking that question, he asked it at a point that I was like, first of all, you're trying to tell me about inverted objects. Like, I don't know. What does free will have to do with any of this?
Man.
Yeah. It was a misplaced question. I brought up free will when in the scene when he finally goes through the turnstile, and I was like, oh yeah, like, we've already seen him do that. Like, we know that he's done this. So does he have free will? Like,
does he have free will?
Does he? Like, we've seen him do every move of this scene already, which would mean that everything that he's done between the last time we saw him and this scene again, like that sandwich, all of that was moves he had already done. Like, does he have free? He can't. It's all written by this weird program that he's a part of. You know, like which
doesn't make any sense because where did it start?
Yeah,
but like, because again, what the woman says of like, if you didn't put your hand there, it wouldn't have happened. Like, he has to keep going through it. But I'm like, but you're also telling me that whatever decision he makes is going to wind up being correct anyway. Yeah. So even if he was like, you're right, we can't go back, and then all of a sudden something else would happen to force him to go back, you know, or he would go back at a different time or whatever. Which is boring for me because it takes if something's always fated, no matter what, then I'm like, well, then why am I watching this?
Yeah, what is this? What is this movie? Like, this movie is an hour and 50 minutes of just whatever will be. Like,
also, wait, oh, sure. Okay. Can we talk about Kenneth Branagh for a little bit?
We must.
Because I like him. I really do. I do like him as an actor, especially as a Shakespearean actor. And he's fun in different movies. Like, he's over the top, but he's fun in Wild Wild West. In this movie, I feel like he was trying so hard to like be scary.
Oh, man, that shit was tense. When he was yelling at his wife. I was like, oh man, this.
I didn't like him. Well, yeah, yes, of course.
It didn't feel like I can understand that where that's coming from. It had been so long since I had seen.
Hey man, you didn't
Kenneth
watch Murder
on
the
Now? I don't
murder
know what he's
now,
done lately. Maybe. I apologize for all of those.
On the Orient Express.
Yeah, I apologize for all of the great work that he's definitely been doing. You know, I just mean I hadn't seen him in a while, and so I was just excited. I'm just excited to see Kenneth Branagh show up halfway through this movie and be like, "Hey, I'm
and
in this
be
movie
the main
too.
Antagonist." Yeah,
I enjoyed that. So it didn't feel like too much for me, but I can understand. I can understand that.
I just was like, I guess I was disappointed when I was like, "Oh, he's the because." Again, they were building it up for him being the main bad guy, but, and they say like he was just in the right place at the right time, but I didn't understand, like, was it the people of the future or
so
him?
It's so funny. I'm reading about that part right now. What has happened is there were two factions in the future and I guess they said this in the movie. They did. So the whole movie revolves around the grandfather paradox. The people of the future want to destroy the past because the future has gotten so bad. They are hoping that destroying the past will help reset the future. I guess it's overrun by like climate control. So they're like, yes, that's what the bad, quote unquote, bad people
and yet
believe.
Not kill them.
Right. Oh, that's why they kept saying grandfather paradox, because by doing this, they're they actually make the future worse for them. Like them.
Yeah. So basically the whole point is the belief. So it's like, if you're the bad people, you want to destroy the world. But the theory is that if you kill your grandfather cannot have your father. It means you don't exist. So like the tenant people believe they're wiping everybody out.
The reason that it's a paradox is because if that's true, you would never have been able to kill yourself. You would never have been able to go back to kill yourself to begin with. So the theory is like, hey, maybe we would survive because it would split off. But the thing that I don't understand is, okay, but then why would everything else be undone then?
Hey, bro.
Like everything else is undone except for you?
Hey, bro, you asking...
Like, I don't, why does that make sense?
You asking the...
You know what I mean? Like, why? So but somehow you still survive, but all the negative things that you think can be undone will be undone, but you will still survive? Because the reason that doesn't make any sense is because how would you get to the... not just yourself. How would the technology even be there for you to do what you've done? Yeah, and if the technology has to if the technology stays, then everything that got the technology to that point would have to stay too.
Mm-hmm.
All it would mean is that all the people in the past would be obliterated, but you would still be at the exact same point that you were. It wouldn't undo anything. For their theory to work, what would happen is the past would die, right? So everybody would be obliterated in a second. And if you try to go back in time again, there would be nothing there. But where you were, nothing would change. Nothing would change. You know what I mean? If it somehow got cut off at like some mortal,
nothing would change where you are because you are your own. Yeah. What you are in this timeline in which everything got fucked up.
Exactly. For you to remain, everything has to stay the same for you to get to that point. And you could obliterate the past, but your present will be the same.
Yeah,
it won't affect you. It won't affect it.
Theoretically,
you know what I mean.
God, so many times I've heard this. Like, then if you go by Dragon Ball Z standards, if they do go back and say destroy everything, it will affect their time, but it theoretically could make things worse instead of making it better. So it's like it just,
to what Bray was saying, like if they go back and blow everything up, like that doesn't mean that you're going to be fine. Like half of the people in the room that you're currently in could be dead, you know, or have never existed, you know, or like time travel technology doesn't get invented because of what you just did. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because the oldest school of time travel is if you go back in time, you do one thing differently. When you go to your present will be different. Like you'll affect the time.
So that means, that means if I go back in time and just start shooting Confederates,
you can
and slave owners,
not do that.
Like, what about if I just go to a Klan rally and just like shoot them all? Just
the thing is, you don't know if it will positively or negatively affect your future.
Okay,
you could think that it'll be positive, and maybe it's not. But it will change your future in some way.
What about this? What about if I just go back to like 1950, just 1950, and smack a Grand Wizard with the butt of my gun? Like, not kill him, just right across the forehead.
You just created the super KKK. That's what you just did by doing that. Their thought is, black people just running around with pistols, slapping people. We got to get all of them niggas off the street.
You're right.
We gotta get.
You're right.
So
that sucks. Anyway,
the thing that I still don't get was like when they were talking about the inverted, and he was asking all those questions like speed round, like they do for most of this movie, and he was like, they were like, the you have to wear this gas mask because the air is inverted, and so you won't be able to breathe. You know,
don't bring this up, Bray.
This and that.
I don't get this part.
And then he was like, well, what about driving? And he was like, I mean, you could do it. It's going to be hard. I was like, wait, so what? And then when he undid everything, how did his car crash again?
I don't know. Oh, because.
And Sater, what happens when you're inverted Sater. And somebody else is also inverted?
So this is the part that was crazy. So Sater saw him, did a shot, but going to that, the mask, at the end, when they were inverted, they weren't wearing masks, right? Like John David at the very end, when he's inverted, going through when his helmet gets taken off by Robert Pattinson, he now has no mask on.
Because he went back through. He
He went through the turnstile. Because he went to the turnstile. So here's the thing that you can do.
Oh, he went through
twice. If you go through the turnstile twice, then you go, then you're going forward in time again. And now there's two versions of you that exist. So the other which is true for what's his face too, for Seder, I guess. There were at least two versions of him existing almost the entire movie, I think. Mm-hmm. If not more than two.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. And then they also were like, if you see yourself, you'll be obliterated. And I was like, why? They didn't explain. Well, yeah. They didn't explain why that was a rule. I mean, it just was a rule.
Cool, man. You know how this works.
It doesn't make sense, especially because
and there are three versions of Robert Pattinson in the final scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's three of him running around.
I would understand more so than seeing yourself obliterating you. I would understand if touching yourself obliterated you, but that also doesn't happen either because of that whole fight sequence. But like,
yes,
I can understand
only the knowledge that another of you exists will obliterate you, even though his molecules are touching each other and they're the same molecules. Nah, give me a break.
That is not unique. Like, that is a thing I've heard. Like, if you see yourself, it'll cause like a quantum.
But it's weird that knowing that you're there is what causes the problem, and not something like I just feels like physical makes. I don't know. It's crazy.
Also, at some point he did know that he existed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not like he's whatever.
Well, if it counts for anything, I like to talk out to Hollywood and be like, yo, I'm happy that this black man was able to be the lead of this movie. It's funny because the one thing I was thinking about, and this is not fair, so I want to admit that now, I kept thinking, would it be possible for a black dude who wasn't Denzel's son to be the lead of this movie? You know what I mean? It's like, no. It felt like he had to be, like, it felt like the character was exceptional, but it felt like the actor himself had to be exceptional to be the lead in this movie. Like, I wonder, did, you know, Chadwick get a chance to audition? Did Michael B. get a chance to audition? Or was this like, all right, this black dude's nominated for an Oscar. He's Denzel related. Like, let's just, I just wonder what the process was for it. But
I mean,
I'm just happy black dude was in
it. I just realized something, though.
I think his profile is lesser than their profiles. Were at this point. He had only done Black Klansman, which was good and big, but like Michael B. Jordan was bigger and so was Chadwick.
But he got nominated, but he got nominated for that. The other two didn't get nominated. But also, I think it's a Denzel connection. I think I'm thinking too much into it. Never mind.
I just realized this is the second time travel movie to ever be made with a black lead. I guess that has had a major release. And
Deja Vu.
Oh, wow.
And we are having Deja Vu watching little Denzel play this.
Wow.
Time.
That's real.
That's so crazy.
Wow. Didn't we review that this year?
We did.
Like Deja Vu?
We did.
Wow, dude. Wow. Well,
wait, can I
good
say
for you,
one
Washington
other,
family.
Can I say one other thing, too? Because did you guys like this final? Did you like the battle scene where they were just armies of unknown people who they were shooting at and blowing
who
up.
Who are they shooting? Who were they shooting?
And where they were going and who? What was any of, like,
okay,
why this turnstile was guarded by an army and no other turnstile was? Literally no other turnstile. There were so many turnstiles in the movie. None of them were guarded. This one was.
So not because I thought this scene made sense, but because I just liked watching, like, an inverted explosion suck some, like seeing a building return to normal and know that someone just died because of the building's normal now. Like that stuff was cool.
Yeah, that was cool, though I didn't understand what was happening.
It didn't make sense. Like, I was like, that was cool. That guy just died?
The other thing that was interesting, did he die or did he just get trapped? I don't know.
No, that guy's like, exactly, but he's dead. You know he's going to die.
I guess so. I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing that was interesting was when they both fired at the same building at the same time, and it was like boom, 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 and it, like,
yes,
it
and the building was both growing.
And
yes, and, yeah. Oh, I love
and I was
that.
Like, that was kind of cool, but it was still, but it was without any.
It was
like,
nonsense.
It was useless.
It was. We didn't need any of this. we didn't need any of this. But that because was the
like because JGL fighting in some turnstile thing, there's actually stakes yeah. and I know what's going on behind that. Whereas this, I was like, well, I don't know yeah. who any of these people are. I don't even know what the point of this is. And I still yeah. don't. I still don't even understand what they were trying to do. Like, I get that the nine pieces were somewhere, but I didn't get like why it was taking them so long to even do it. Like, I didn't understand what his death had anything to do with this thing. I didn't get it.
The nine pieces were broken into threes the whole time. Like at the end,
yeah, there Batman,
Kick-Ass, and John David are just like they just split it into three. And then,
whoa, wait, that
I
was
like, wait,
that was a yeah, it was Kick-Ass.
I thought that yeah, was so
that's
cool.
Kick-Ass. Oh my god!
I leaned over the cat and I was like, oh, that's Kick-Ass. That's
exactly. He was, also, in the, he was in the Bad Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah, but also I was like, why was Kick-Ass like? How was he one of the people who have an option to take the piece at the end? Like, that nigga just became super important. I don't know his name. I don't know where he came from. Like,
and
why
was gonna
are you
shoot,
at the end?
He was going to shoot the other two, and I was like, why do you get to shoot people?
Like, who are you, Kick-Ass? All right? Fucking Quicksilver?
And he was like, I'll look right. for you. And I was like, what do you mean you'll look for? What does that even mean?
Yes, so that means you have to hunt them down?
What is that? What, truly, what does that mean?
Bruh, utterly confused.
How are you looking for them? And for what purpose? The whole movie, for the rest of your life, you're going to try to find people who are going backwards in time. How do you not know you're going to kill one of their past selves and screw all of this up?
Yeah, you should actively not search for this. Like, you makes, should makes actively no sense. Stay away from it.
And also,
makes no sense.
And also, whatever. I didn't even
Here's
understand.
What I'll say.
I don't even. Wait, what? Again, what does the algorithm do? What do the nine pieces even do?
So basically, the nine pieces. So basically, the nine pieces gives you like it's a bomb. So it's supposed to be like this atomic bomb type situation. So what it does? Do I still have it up?
Oh, it's a bomb.
It is. It is a reverse. Sorry. Yeah. So basically, the whole point is it's supposed to be able to reverse whatever is happening in the world at that time. So again,
it makes everything inverted.
Yes, so everything has to be everything. So,
so the explosion that they were trying to stop was mass reversion.
Yeah, because and he said it. He said it at one point.
Okay, wait.
Seder says it at one point.
I did not know this.
Guys, hang with me.
The whole time I did. I thought they kept saying bomb. Saying, I kept thinking explosion. Everything's dead.
Here's the thing: before the bomb, before the algorithm, they also kept saying. They're putting as many inverted, there's so many inverted objects in our time. They're doing that because it'll reach some sort of threshold where if there's too many inverted objects in our time, then everything will collapse. They said that
okay.
at
yeah.
some point too.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're trying.
And I was like, is that connected to the bomb?
So basically they're trying, the people from the future are trying everything they can do to invert and stop the past because the past, they're thinking the future is so corrupt and so bad, like climate change, all this other stuff, that the only way to undo it is to go back to the past and reverse
literally
everything.
Undo it. Like literally, hit rewind.
You're hitting refresh on the world, if you will.
Wow.
And because of the grandfather clause, they believe it's possible, whereas John Davis people really believe if you blow up everybody in the past, you kill everything.
Yeah, but okay. All right. Yeah, we already talked about that.
I mean, I guess, guys.
Here's what listen. I don't do bits anymore.
That's good.
I don't do them.
I'm happy to hear that.
But I will ask this question: Is Tenet good? Like, is it good? Like,
oh, don't do this. Don't do
cause,
this.
Come on. Because we just had this in-depth discussion, you know. And the whole time
don't
I was watching
this
movie, that was the question that I had. I was like, "Is Tenet?"
I'm not doing this.
Is it any good? Like, is it?
I'm not doing this.
You know, because it's Christopher Nolan, you know, and Nolan, he's all about mind bending and stuff, you know, and puzzles and, you know, and big sweeping, you know, set pieces, you know, but is it good?
I'm not doing this. I guess we're going to find out the end. I don't even want to rate this movie. I don't even want to rate it.
We got to rate it.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home.
for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
It's time for the cause. It's time for the cause. And we have the rave reviews.
I'm not doing it.
Not based on how much we like them, but whether they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. And if we think it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. But if we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we don't think it helped the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Wait. You got to wait, James.
Oh, count of three.
I don't want to. I don't want to do this.
Two.
I don't want to do this.
Three.
Here we go. It's an inverted fist.
What, Braylock gave it nothing?
No, I went like that.
No, Braylock gave it nothing.
It's an inverted fist. My fist is upside down.
James, I hate this.
I'm giving it a palm.
You're giving it a palm. Okay, all right. All right. What's up?
Okay.
Here's why I gave it a palm.
He's so depressed.
I don't think this film, and it's partly not even because of the film's fault. It's partly because of COVID, but it's partly because of the film. Because I don't think this movie did what it was supposed to do in making it be the movie for John David Washington. And I'm now, I think based off his name alone and based off the fact that he's already done great stuff, it's, you know, I don't know how much this film furthered his career. And therefore, I don't know how much it helped the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. Because there's also no other black people in this movie. There was no other black people to ascend, being in this film. And we kind of did this before with other movies. We've debated back and forth. I think we swing back and forth. But I'm still of that kind of mindset of like, a film putting somebody who's already a star in the lead of a movie, you know, but not putting any other black actors in it or anything like that. I don't, when that person's already a star, I'm like, I don't know. It's like kind of that Will Smith, Denzel effect. It's like, is this really helping, you know, like, or is it just become like that, just that person could do it, you know? So I don't know. Because of that, I gave it a palm.
Yeah, I'll just say quickly that, like, I fully agree with everything you just said. I only gave it a fist because of the sort of, I know that COVID was, I think, a big part of why I wasn't able to do as well as it could have. Because I remember when the trailer came out for this movie, I was like super excited to see it. And so I do think that it, like, you know, had there been different circumstances, it probably would have had more exposure and maybe would have been it probably would have been as negatively talked about, but there would have been more people to say positive things about it. I think, and just because, like, John David, even though he, you know, the nepotism angle of it all, I do think that he is still, it's still early in his career. And so this could be a big thing for him and could be, you know, a big jumping off point into other things. So, yeah, that's why I gave it a fist.
Yeah, I gave it a fist. Again, it's a black dude in the Christopher Nolan movie. I don't even care. There's nepotism. White folk been doing that shit in Hollywood. Literally, I was looking up like famous people. And realizing this person's dad is a famous, it's insane. Like, I just realized, like, this actress I like is Jonah Hill's little sister. I was like, what the hell? I was like, this makes no sense. I had no idea. I was like, literally, I was watching some comedy. I was like, man, this girl's popping up in everything. And I Googled her. And that's not to take away from her. It's just like, there is a leg up they have. And I
even
am so...
Even Emma Fanning.
Yes. I didn't even realize. Like, I mean, was it Olsen, Elizabeth Olsen? Like, this is a thing. And like, for me, it's like, it is very cool to see Black people finally be able to do this. I mean, I know, Jaden isn't making movies like that, but like if Denzel's son can do it, God bless, yo.
Yeah, Jaden's like, I'm really good.
The Wayans should get all the parts, just not all the parts. You know what I'm saying?
Not all the parts.
I say they can get some of the parts, but not all the parts. That's all I'm saying. That's fine. You know, not all the parts. But I do think it was good. It was nice to see him in the big screen role. And I've looked up some of the things that he's gotten since this movie, and he is now like a blockbuster dude. He will be, I guess, in the next couple of years, which is great. But you're right. There's no other Black people in it. I'm hoping that they don't blame this on John David. I hope everyone realizes COVID so we get two more Black people.
Nobody's blaming it on him.
Well, I'm saying, I just hope that they put two more Black people in a Chris Nolan movie. Like, imagine how good this would have been if the mom was Black or like Latina or Asian. Like, it would have taken away nothing from this movie to make that mom a woman of color. Nothing would have changed. It would have changed Robert Pattinson's character probably, but whatever. All I do now, and this is just a tirade, is I just watch stuff with white women and go, that could have been a Black woman. That could have been an Asian woman. This has nothing to do with race. That could have been a Latina woman. Like, this has... There are so many movies and shows that have appeared this year in 2020 that are women dealing with stuff, and none of them are women of color. It's like, they could have been all, like, none of them. You telling me Emily in Paris couldn't have been a Black girl in Paris or an Asian girl in Paris?
Emily in Paris.
Why would
anyone follow Kenneth Branagh if they knew his plan was to destroy everything?
Because they believe in the world ending. They believe in...
Are those people from the future? But he's from the present.
The people from the future contacted him when he was...
Exactly.
When he was surveying the thing.
Right, so his henchmen... Or I guess his henchmen just don't know what's going on, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think they knew.
Something. They know about the turnstiles.
Maybe told them that he's going to save the world, which is what he would think he was doing. You know,
I wish we had even more of that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Guys, thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You can find links to our merchandise, links to our defunct Patreon, but we have a year's worth of episodes if you want to listen to that. Also, if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes. We'll read your review on the air. Guys, thank you so much for listening. You can follow me at John Braylock.
Follow me at James Third Comedy, JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
We'll see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!